Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you about the message under the title of the Keeping the Deeds of the Body Under the Control. It was delivered by senior pastor in summer retreat in 1995. And actually, I delivered the message on GCN in 2012. But those who missed it, you know, I'm going to share this message with you for a couple of weeks. Brothers and sisters, there is a famous fairy tale called in the Jungle Book, in the Mogul Wee. It was of the boy in the book was raised in the jungle, not by his parents, but by wolves. He was a boy. However, he behaved like wolves because he was raised by a pack of wolves. Just like this story, there were children who were raised by animals like this. In 1920, two girls were found by hunters who grew up together with a pack of wolves. In 1996, in Nigeria, there was a boy who was raised by chimpanzees. In 2007, there was a boy in Cambodia, and the boy raised by wolves in Russia. So there have been about 80 or so since 1920. They looked like men. However, they were just like in animals. Even though they were educated, they couldn't communicate with people. They tried to run away to jungles. According to statistics, those who were rescued like that, you know, died without any reason in a period of 10 years. Scientists said that this is the phenomena of Mogul Wee, which was the name of the boy in the book, in the Jungle Book. However, this phenomena can be found among those who were not raised well among human beings. There was a boy who was locked inside the bird cage in 2008 in Russia. And there was a girl who was treated like a dog in 2009. Both of them had families. However, one of them was locked down inside the birdcage or the doghouse. And they were, you know, they were raised as like animals. Even though they were saved and rescued, they experienced the Mogul Wee phenomena. We've compared this Mogul Wee phenomena with our lives. We were originally children of light that God created in His own image. However, Adam's disobedience caused us to lose His image. We became the children of the enemy devil and Satan. We learned the untruth, sin and evil, and we lived as the children of darkness. However, Father God, in out of His love, gave His only Son, Jesus, as the atoning sacrifice and paid the price. And then we were saved from the hands of the enemy devil and Satan. So, we who accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior worked so hard to recover the lost image of Father God. So, we have to recover the duty of a complete man. Some people, however, still love the untruth, which they learned from the enemy devil and Satan. They are not better than those boys or girls who suffer from Mogulic phenomena. Romans 6:16 says, Do you not know? That when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for disobedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. So depending on who you obey, you may live a completely different life. So I would like to ask you, what about you? Just as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are a new creature in Christ. I believe your old things are passed away, and you become anew in the Lord. Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 24 says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So from now on, let's look at what is the untruth and the flesh that we have not recognized, and what kind of behavior and appearance we should have as a child of God. I'm going to, you know, divide them into the deeds of the thoughts, hearts, eyes, ears, mouth, and attitude. Philippians 2:15 says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now, there is one important thing. You may look different depending on what you learn and what you are taught. I mean, what is the standard? What is our standard to learn our Lord Jesus Christ, our bridegroom? So, today and next time, I'm going to explain what our Lord thought, what had in His mind, what He saw, what He heard, and what He spoke, and what was His attitude. Now, when I explain them, compare them with yours, and realize what you should do to become a bride of the Lord. There is a spouse and there is a husband and wife. They should look alike to get along well. If they have different taste, then one of them should, you know, sacrifice, right? If they can share same hobbies, you know, they can enjoy themselves. If they are in the almost in the equal level of an education or etiquette, you know, they can enjoy themselves well. What about someone is well-educated, but the other is not? Then both of them may have, you know, some difficult they may come across with difficult situations. A man educated well cannot, you know, treat the other or his or her spouse who was not educated well. But if they are well, both equally educated and equally, you know, has, you know, equal etiquette, you know, they may, you know, treat each other well, better, I will say. Now, we got to resemble our bridegroom, our Lord. So we got to learn what He was like. And if you think you are far behind our Lord, then you have to fix yourself. You have to change your attitude. You have to change your behavior, your heart, which is most important. You got to learn what kind of heart, attitude and behavior our Lord had, and you got to resemble Him. But then, think about our Lord who is so beautiful. You can resemble Him. Then you will not be ashamed before the Lord. Our Lord is light itself. You stand before Him. But you are short of so many things. Then you will shy. You cannot, you know, raise your head up. If you are, even though you are not, if you are saved, you cannot look into the eyes of the Lord if you are ashamed. So, you got to resemble our Lord, who is your bridegroom, to live well. Well, first, what did Jesus think when He lived on this earth? Jesus' thoughts were always truth, spiritual, and perfect and holy. He was positive, active thoughts. He got thoughts of love, thoughts of, you know, giving souls to life and giving hope to life. He thought about Father God who is in heaven. He always thought about the will of Father God. He always wanted to enlarge the kingdom of God. So, he felt heart of Father God who always thought about souls, and He gave His love and devotion. He healed so many people. He led so many souls by manifesting signs and wonders so that they could believe in God. As He lived on this earth, He thought about heaven a lot. During His 3-year ministry, you know, His ministry was so difficult, right? He had to heal so many people, but there were evil people who tried to find the ground for accusation. There were so evil people following Him. And He had to avoid them. He was in that kind of situation. Now, do you think He thought about why my life is so difficult? No way. He always thought about the moments that He enjoyed with our Father God. He thought about flowers in heaven, when he looked at the flowers on the ground on earth, when looking at the Galilee Lake, and he thought about word of life in heaven. In his life on earth, he always thought about heaven, and he had peace in his heart. Now, we didn't go to heaven yet. We have not been there yet. But we were taught so well. So you can have heaven in your heart. By that, you can overcome this world. What you see, what you hear, they're so evil. It may bother you. However, even among them, think about heaven. This spring. Even there was one flower on the ground, it gave you some kind of hope and feeling, right? There was a very skinny bud from the ground. And then you wondered, even though you know it was the principle of nature, but when there was a small bud, in a green bud coming out from the ground, after winter, you realize that the power of God is so great and wonderful, right? You welcomed in the spring like that. Now, I hope you can think about heaven all the time and the power of God all the time. Then, even though you face trials or in the persecution, you may find it, you know, joyful and thankful. Due to the disobedience of Adam, the people had to go to the way of destruction. But Jesus came to this earth to save them. And he always thought about the cross. At the end of his ministry, he had to die on the cross. However, he was not thinking that, man, I have to die on the cross? But he didn't think like that. He had to be inspired when he would be in a crucified. So he always had the communication with Father God open. He prayed to God to know when exactly he was to be, you know, crucified. But at the same time, he, you know, gave life and hope to people. Now, and he taught his disciples with the truth. The 3-year-long ministry was full of God's power and saving souls. His work devotion, of course, it came along with the hardships and persecution. But you know, at the end, he was crucified, right? But in his heart, can you imagine what he had in his mind? But he cared for his disciple one by one, every one of them. I believe you watched in an Easter performance. During his ministry, even at the stage when he was dying, even at the moment, you know, he was being arrested, you know, he knew that his disciples would flee away, run away. But he thought about his disciples, gave him the strength to overcome that. The burden on our Lord is so heavy. But he didn't worry about his burden. He thought about the burdens who would be on the shoulder of his disciples. What if I'm not here? When I'm not here, you know, my disciples would feel that heavy burden on their shoulder. They had to save so many souls. And that way is not easy way. So Jesus always thought about them, pray for them, and encourage them. Basically, he got no self. He didn't think about himself. He only thought about how to encourage his disciples. And he thought about his disciples. He prayed for them. John 17:11, he said, I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, O Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. And he also said in John 17:18-19, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. He always thought about how to teach well, so that after his, you know, ascension, how could they do their duty and preach the gospel? He got no self. Even though his life was so full of difficulties, he didn't thought about them. He didn't think about them. He always thought about his disciples. Think about his broad mind, broad heart. The heart which was filled with love. That's goodness. That's love, isn't it? But what about people? When they face some difficulties, then they think what they're facing is more difficult than the difficulties that other people are facing. Now, let's consider other situation, not ours. Even though I'm facing it right now, there are people who are facing even worse. Now, who can console our heart? Our Father God and the Lord will do. If we can do that, we have broad heart. We have a heart of goodness. Jesus always thought about spiritual things. When his disciples, make no children come close to Jesus, he said, if you are not like these little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Whatever he thought was related with Father God's will and Father God's kingdom. And he gave, examples related to that. He always thought about spiritual things. Everything was spiritual. Don't you think you want to live like this? Jesus was the Son of God, but, I'm just a man of flesh. So it's natural to have the worries of the flesh. Well, don't say so. Of course, you may have to live your life on this land. However, there is more important thing, You got to think about spirit. You have to worry about how to improve in spirit, how to be more faithful, how to advance into a better dwelling place in heaven. All those, fleshly things that you may worry, you will be solved by Father God. Whatever Jesus thought about was spiritual. He even encouraged a widow who gave less than the rich man because he looked at the heart of the lady. Even disciples could not perfectly understand the heart of the Lord. Jesus said that he would be persecuted, he would die, he would be crucified, but he would resurrect in 3 days. But Jesus said, no way. However, Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16:23, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. He taught his disciples to think about Father God's kingdom and glory first. That's a spiritual thought. People love themselves, right? People love themselves. They care for themselves. So when someone praises you, you feel good. Man, he understands my heart. He's a good man. Thank you. However, when Peter said, you should not die. You should not be persecuted. You should not be crucified. Then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. People may think, he got no, love. However, he was flat to block the work of Satan. If he had tolerated once or twice, his disciples would have been falling into fleshly thoughts. Peter tried to comfort his heart, since he was against the will of Father God, he said no. Don't you think you should feel thankful to those who say like this before you, around you? You say something about their heart, and they say, no way, that's against the will of God. Get behind me. Would you feel good? You should feel good, because he is teaching you the spiritual things. Now, as I deliver this message, I think I explained it once before. Senior pastor once said, don't you have little faith? When I was so tired, I got something happened with my tongue, so I couldn't even speak well. When I reported to senior pastor said, you can overcome it by faith. You got little faith. As I heard it, I didn't feel sorry. I didn't complain. No, I couldn't eat well back then. I couldn't speak well. However, when he said so, you know, I felt even better. Senior pastor was actually trying to correcting me so that, you know, I could think about only the Spirit. So I said amen and accepted it with the words of Spirit. I didn't complain. Well, he was my daddy, but how could he say like that? You know, his daughter was working so hard, and he should have, you know, comforted his daughter. I didn't think like that. He's so cold-hearted. I've never thought like that. I said amen. Why? Senior pastor lived like that. Even though he was tired, even though he got some things to worry about, he never said so. He always thought about Father God. He always depended on Father God. He rather worried that, you know, people around him might worry about his situation. That's what I saw. So when he said so to me, I realized that, aha, I got little faith. I repented like that. I got turned back. Even though I'm tired, even though I have fatigue, if I please Father God will heal me. Father God will make me, you know, strengthened. I said amen with that kind of thought. And soon, it was gone. Now, I got nothing to do with fatigue or tiredness. So you should be thankful when someone tells you about spiritual things. So what about Divine Healing Meeting? I'm sorry to make you worried. After January, Divine Healing Meeting, I thought, you know, I was exhausted. Senior pastor lived like this. That's what I felt. So during the Divine Healing Meeting in February, I couldn't speak well. You know, my voice was so low, right? But Father God blessed me to recover my pitch. So anyway, once I overcame, you know, starting from March, I delivered the message in the first half, and in the second half, I gave you, you know, prayer for the sick, right? To encourage you and to have a hope for healing, you know, by delivering the message on the first half. Someone, you know, advised me to do so. So I said, amen, and obeyed it. So those people who love me said that, you know, even though you prayed in the second half and you were so tired and your voice was changed, how do you try to deliver a message even in the first half? Well, when they said so, I didn't thought like that. I just wanted to give glory to Father God better, more greatly. What I thought was that, you know, if I can help a congregation to get healing works by delivering my message in the first half, that's what I would do. So I said, it's okay. I will do that. I just prayed. I prayed for about a month. Father God, in March, I'm going to deliver a message. Make my voice clear. Make my health better. I'm going to deliver a message the next Sunday after Divine Healing Meeting Day. So help me. So Father God, hold me in His strength. So I didn't hurt my voice, and it was even better in April. My voice, my health condition even got better. Well, not because I got good faith. I just imitated what Senior Pastor did. Senior Pastor did exactly this. He was always looking for things to please Father God. I just want to do what he did. That's what I thought. I thought about Senior Pastor. I thought about the attitude and behaviors of our Lord. That's what I thought. And I tried to resemble. Then Father God gave me strength. Spiritual thoughts make you overcome the limit of your flesh. Even though you are short, Father God will make you full. Man, what should I do? I cannot do that. I'm short of so many things. Well, I pray like this. Father God, I'm short of so many things. However, you are great. If you hold me, I can do everything. That's how I prayed. And over time, I was even sorry to say, you know, I am short of many things. So I just said, Father God, hold me with your hand and I can do anything. I made that kind of positive confession, positive prayer. I hope you can do that too. Jesus had always positive thoughts. Apply to your life. You may have negative thoughts. You may have worries about your family. You may worry about your skills and experience. You may worry about many things. You may worry about your wisdom. However, depend on Father God. Source of strength and power and in wisdom, depend on Him. Then Father God will help you. Your life will be changed then. Now, to those who are worried and weary, Jesus said, as in Luke 12, 29 and 31, do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, but seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Even though your reality is full of difficulties, only spiritual thought can solve them. If you have fleshly thought, you try to solve your problems. However, spiritual way is to depend on Father God and worry about Father God's kingdom. You should say amen and accept it by faith. Now, workers, do you have some problems? Find a way to please Father God. Think about Father God's kingdom and His way. How to please Father God? Find it. And if you do it with spiritual thought and deeds, then Father God will answer you and solve your problems. Thoughts of flesh, spiritual thoughts of life-giving and hope-giving, that's what Jesus taught us. Then we got to have them. Jesus was so full of beautiful and perfect thoughts like this. So that's why the Bible says He was full of mercy and the truth and grace. Now, one thing that we got to remember is that His situation was not easy. It was very difficult. However, in that situation, He was full of grace and truth. Why? Because His heart was full of spiritual thoughts. Now, what do you have in your heart? What to eat? What to wear? I want to have that. Because of these thoughts, your heart was filled with worries and worries. You may think about the one who gave you trouble. Since you think about Him, your heart is aching. I mean, when you think about Him, was that difficulty went away? I mean, gone away? Why do you think about some problems and bad things? You are trapped by the enemy, devil, and Satan. People of God should not do that. Someone gave you troubles, forget it. I want to forget it, but I can't. Well, get rid of hatred from your heart. What you have in mind is hatred. But if you don't have hatred in your heart, it will go away. The troubles and difficulties that other people caused you, it's in your head, and you remember them. You have hatred in your heart, that's why. Your heart was hurt and you hate Him. That's why you remember what they did to you. Now, someone caused you trouble. Why do you have that, soaring, arrow in your heart? Pull it out. Don't think about it. Love Him instead. Forgive Him instead. If you can't do that right now, pray for it. Father, I still have fleshly thought. I worry about the problems that they gave me. I always thought about them. Whenever I look at Him, I remember the problems that they gave me. So please, let me get rid of these fleshly thoughts, evil thoughts, hatred. Help me. Let me not remember those, problematic words. But let me think about the words of truth, the attitude of senior pastor. Let me think about them. You got to repent of it. Pray for it. Then, your fleshly thoughts will turn into spiritual thoughts. Don't be like that, okay? Don't think of such things. From now on, think about the words of truth. And think about how to live a life that can please Father God, which is full of hope for heaven. If you think that, heaven is in your heart, it's not possible because you got no problems. Even though you have problems in your life, if you have goodness in your heart, if your brain is full of think about heaven, thought about heaven, wherever you are, your heart is heaven. Even though there are people who give you trouble, he causes you troubles, even people around you point the fingers at you. If your heart is full of the Lord, if your thoughts are full of the Lord, then your heart will be at ease and peace. Now, having such a spiritual thought will be a great advantage, and you will be even healthier. But if you have fleshly thought, if you have hatred in your heart, if you are worried, then you may suffer from depression. Okay? Jesus always had thoughts of flesh, thoughts of spirit. Okay? Now turn your heart, turn your fleshly thoughts into spiritual thoughts, just as, Jesus. Now, especially pastors, remember what kind of life Jesus lived. The life of Jesus. Think about it and apply it to your life. He got no time to sleep. He was so busy. Preaching the gospel, healing sick people, solving problems. He devoted entire life for the work of God. He thought about people who got problems, who got sick. He didn't think like, since they are evils, they are sick. He didn't think like that. He always thought about them. He always thought about how to give them faith to be healed of their diseases. That's what Jesus did. Pastors, you should live like that. No, don't, enjoy the title as a pastor. For the glory of Father God, our Lord lived. Just like Him, you've got to devote your time and energy for Father God. In any kind of difficulties, if you think about Jesus, who always thought about the will of God, then you can easily get rid of your worries and difficulties and fleshly thoughts. Okay? Always think about Jesus' thoughts, spiritual thoughts, thoughts of truth. Now, let's look at what Jesus' heart was like. His heart was clear, clean, pure, innocent, spotless. Simply put, his heart was holy. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8 says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." He was so humble. Well, actually, heart is invisible. However, we can see what his heart is like by looking at their behaviors and attitudes. Matthew 15:18, our Lord said, "The things that proceed out of your mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man." And 12:34, he said, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Whatever inside the heart comes out as words through lips. So, we can see others' heart by listening to their words. Of course, there are people, but their heart and their appearance may be different. So, you cannot judge people by just listening to what they say. You may be deceived by them, okay? So, you have to examine your heart by what you say. If there are people who speak in evil words, then chances are that they may have evil hearts. But instead of judging and condemning, try to judge your heart, okay? There are people who speak lies and who deceive others, unlike their heart. However, you can discern it well. If you have light in your heart, if you have truth in your heart, you can easily discern them. So compare the hearts of Jesus and Judas Iscariot through their conversation. Judas Iscariot had evil heart, but he spoke some different things. Judas Iscariot, who tried to hide his heart, and Jesus, who gave only the words of truth and touched others' hearts. Let's compare them. Before he was crucified, he went to Bethany. Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Mary, his sister, took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Then Judas Iscariot said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Did he say this because he was concerned about the poor? Truly? No way. He loved money. He was full of greed. That's why he spoke such words. But Jesus knew his heart. But what did he say? Did he say, "Judas, don't you think I didn't know? Did you think I didn't know that you were so greedy and you were stealing from the money box?" Did he say so? No. He rather said, "Let alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Jesus explained like this. Jesus knew Judas Iscariot's heart. He read his mind. However, he didn't reveal his evil heart. He never spoke words which were beyond the truth. The words that would lead to arguments, or the words that would pierce people's heart. He never said so. He never spoke such words. It was not like suppressing ill feelings in heart. His heart was full of truth, mercy, and love. And these came out as words through his lips. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall not be quenched till he send forth judgment unto victory." Just as the Bible says, Jesus was so meek like this. What about you? When you saw others' mistakes or faults, what was in your heart? Well, it is closely related to senior pastor's message, the spiritual love, number 17. People behave differently according to the evil and goodness in their hearts. When they see others' faults, they try to poke those evil men's hearts and report it to other people. However, there are other types of people. Even though they see others' faults, they rather give intercessory prayer for them, advise them with the words of truth, so that they also change. If they report it to others, those with faults, may be ashamed, right? You may kill them, destroy them. Senior pastor didn't do so. He didn't report it to us. Now, those who made mistakes are ashamed, and they are always worried whether their faults would be revealed. Senior pastor never spoke about their faults. He rather covered them. Even though he knew our faults, he pretended as if he did not know. He rather gave us confession of truth. He encouraged them. He didn't report it to others. Since we know that, even though we made faults, we came before him, we confessed our faults, and we made up our mind once again to be more faithful. Since his heart was so full of love and truth, well, he's never thought about others' faults. If someone made a mistake but he didn't repent, he read worried about him. And he always thought about how to encourage him or reproach him so that he would repent and turn back and change. Such, things that he did changed us. Here is another example. In John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, you can find, you know, scribes and Pharisees who caught, you know, a lady who was caught in, you know, adultery. He tried to find accusation while dealing with, you know, Jesus. They tried to set trap. If Jesus had said, forgive, love her, then it is against the law of Moses. However, if he said, you know, kill her, then he might have proved that, you know, he got no love, right? So they thought, you know, it was the perfect trap. They didn't care about the life of the lady. They didn't give you a question. They didn't give Jesus a question. What would you do with this lady? That's what they said. They didn't care about the life of the lady. Their heart was full of evil. But they tried to, you know, hide their evil thoughts with those words, right? However, Jesus didn't say anything. He rather wrote something on the ground. He did that twice and he said, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. He knew people's heart. He knew their evil. He knew their evil scheme. What if he had even a little bit of ill feeling? Man, this evil man tried to find the ground of accusation. Don't they think I know their heart? He didn't have ill feelings like this. He didn't say, you brood of vipers, you have so evil heart. You got even greater sin than this woman. Who tried to stone this lady? Now, if she were to be stoned to death, you are the next to be stoned to death. He could have said this. However, Jesus didn't reveal their sin one by one. He rather wrote their common sins on the ground. Well, I just said, I knew your heart. I said, you know, what you have said, right? That's evil, isn't it? Let's not think about any evil feelings. Let's not have any evil in our heart. Well, actually, I just, you know, imagined what Jesus might have thought if he had ill feelings, right? We learned the truth, and we know how evil this was. So let's not have such ill feelings. If we don't have such ill feelings, but if we have truth, we can change people around us. My child is giving all kind of trouble to me, too much. Instead of thinking like that, why don't you change yourself? Why don't you have goodness and truth first? Then you can change others. So Jesus wrote, you know, common sin on the ground. He didn't reveal their faults. He rather helped them to realize their sin. It was his wisdom and it was his love to solve that problem, which was not against the law of Moses and not against goodness and love. And he even said that he would not judge the lady. He completed the law with his love. Well, actually, we got no right to judge or condemn others. Just as James 4:12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. There is only one judge, our God. But we got no right. But we talk about others' faults. We easily judge them and condemn them. Then we are not like, I mean, we are no better than the one who put, you know, the one who, you know, lended money from you and put him into prison when he didn't return the money back to you. You were just like that. You were just like that, right? You don't see the speck in your eyes. You just find the dust in others' eyes. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 18:35. My Heavenly Father will also do the same to you. If each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart, Father God would not forgive you. That's what he said. If you don't forgive your brother, Father God will not forgive you either. It's a big trouble, isn't it? If you're not forgiven, what would happen? So if you want to be forgiven, then you got to forgive your brother. You got to forgive people around you. You should be able to. Well, you got no right firsthand. Sometimes you encounter the moment you got to forgive. Jesus was spotless. He was perfect. He got the right to judge and condemn. However, Jesus didn't condemn or judge others. He rather healed the sick. He rather helped those troubled men. He didn't reveal others' faults. He rather gave them chance to change with the words of love. That is the heart of perfect goodness and love. That was Jesus' heart. His heart was full of mercy, forgiveness, truth-giving, and life-giving heart. That's why he didn't only save the woman, but also gave chance to those evil people so that they would realize they're evil. In the Bible, you can find many things like this about Jesus. Mark 2:17 says, hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He always thought about the poor, the sick, the wretched. You can imagine his heart of love. He made the blind come to see. Bartimaeus, the beggar, people avoided him. However, Jesus didn't mind approaching him and opened his eyes. He visited a tax collector that people avoided. He healed the 10 lepers. He revived the dead Lazarus and dead son of a widow. He helped the sick, the poor, the despised. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. He practiced what the Bible says. He even said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. He said so even when he was crucified on the cross. He gave this prayer of love to Father God. He not only taught, but he showed example of the heart, which was full of goodness and love. Matthew 12:35, the Lord said, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. We gotta learn Jesus by learning his heart. We are saved by his cross. So we gotta, Father God's children who is full of love. His behavior, his attitudes are well written in the Bible. Not because just to, the Bible wants to, you know, introduce Jesus. It was to teach us to resemble him. Especially, he is our bridegroom. We gotta learn what he did. Everyone can love who is lovely. If you can love even the one who gave you troubles, then we may say you are resembling the heart of the Lord. On top of that, you have to, you know, give years to the poor, give aid to them, help them, and tolerate them with the broken heart. That's what you gotta do, just like our Jesus did. Let me conclude this message. Even evil men can be touched when they see goodness, even for a moment. Everyone can be touched when they hear what Jesus did. But that's not it. Judas Iscariot witnessed the goodness and love and the attitude of Jesus. However, he sought after his greed and money, and he died. Even though we are touched by the beautiful deeds of the Lord, but if we don't resemble his heart cannot be ours. So how then can we quickly resemble our Lord's heart? First, we have to find exactly what evil and untruth are in us. If we misjudged others' faults, if we judged others, well, Father God, I want to be good. Instead of saying that, remember the attitude and behaviors of our Jesus and compare it with yours and get rid of evil and truth from your heart and resemble God, resemble the Lord. If you judge others, you got to realize that it is from hatred in your heart. This is what you got to discover. When others got prosperous, then you lost your joy. It means you have pride of life in your heart. You got to realize this. You got to discover this kind of things in your heart and get rid of them. Cast them off. Pray desperately for the things that you discover. Don't just overlook. This fleshly thought is caused by what kind of untruth? This is the attribute of what kind of evil? You gotta find it. Even though it is not put it into your words or action, you gotta find what evil in your heart. And whenever you find it, you gotta pray desperately and make an effort. Then no matter how evil they are, the Holy Spirit will help you to turn them into goodness and truth. But it cannot be done overnight. You gotta constantly pray desperately and make an effort. However, don't stop in the middle. You have to keep on praying desperately. Don't stop until it is over. And the Holy Spirit will help you. Once you recover the lost image of Father God, then you will become a righteous man. You will go to heaven, and you will be given glory to shine like sun in heaven. You will receive abundant blessing. I hope you can resemble our Lord like this. In the name of our Lord, that you may find yourself in the arms of the Lord, who is your bridegroom. Let's think. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers: stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.